Now we're going to spend a time around God's Word. Thank you for that worship. It just prepares us. It helps us to understand the reason that we are here. We're here because Jesus loves us, and we have the privilege, the joy, the opportunity of worshiping Him together, but also around His Word. As we are doing that, actually, I'm going to ask my colleague Daniel. Daniel's going to come and read the passage to us. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 6 to verse 15. Thank you, Daniel. You will probably need that.
Praise the Lord. The scriptures is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 from verse 6 to 15. Let's hear the word of God. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proven yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace of God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Praise God.
This passage here, which Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church, he wrote at least two letters. There's a thought that there may have been a third, but certainly two letters to the Corinthian church. And actually, to quite a large extent, those letters were in some ways a little bit critical. There were some issues that Paul was dealing with in this young church in Corinth where he felt that he had to speak into them. There were issues of division. There were issues around immorality. There was even lawsuits between believers, all of which was not a great testimony to those who were outside of the church about the goodness of God through Christ. He had to remind them of His gospel because they were straying slightly, maybe even more than slightly, from the true gospel of Christ. He also had to talk to them about orderly worship because things were getting a little bit out of hand as far as he saw it. So he spoke into a whole host of issues which this young church was dealing with. But in the passage that Daniel read to us, Paul speaks to another issue where he wasn't criticizing, he wasn't condemning, he was actually commending. He was saying, your generosity is astonishing. Thank God for your generosity. He's speaking to a church which, a little bit like us today, were living in turbulent times. This is a church that was living at a time when poverty was all around them. and where there were challenges all around them. A little bit like today. These last 3 or 4 years, there have been, shall we say, there have been a challenge. 3 years ago today, you wouldn't have been here. You would have been joining others who are live streaming this morning. You would have been at home. You would have been live streaming the service. The chances are that you wouldn't have physically touched anybody apart from your most immediate family for a couple of months. We were right at the beginning of the global pandemic, which changed everything. Moving on from that, we have also seen that there's now, sadly, a war in Europe, and that is changing everything. We are hearing about high inflation and how that is causing some folks in our society to have poverty issues. You have a food bank here. You have a CAP centre here. In probably one of the wealthiest places in the country, there is poverty just under the surface. And here, Paul is writing to this church, and they are living in a community that is experiencing poverty, and he's saying to them, thank you for your generosity. Generosity in two areas. You have been generous in sharing the gospel, but you're also generous in sharing what you have in a practical sense. Poverty, that word is used a lot today. Even on our news bulletins, we hear about poverty. But poverty is not just the lack of material things. I've got a colleague, a chap called Richmond. He works in Uganda. He's a former Compassion Child. And he says poverty is actually the lack of hope. Can you imagine waking up every single morning of your life and you have no hope that it's going to be any different? That actually the poverty of your grandchildren, the poverty of your grandparents, the poverty of your parents, that's what's staring you in the face. Whether that's a poverty of the lack of God in your life, whether it's a poverty of material things, it is a lack of hope. And here, Paul is speaking, and he's talking to the church because this church is bringing hope to its community. The hope of the gospel of Christ, which is life-transforming. And also that practical support and hope to the widow, the orphan, and the most vulnerable in their society. In this passage, Jesus talks about, or rather Paul talks about, the way in which this church has been blessed, and thanks be to God, you are sharing that blessing. You've heard the good news of the gospel of Christ. It has transformed your life, even with all of the other stuff I've got to talk to you about. You are born again. You are in the kingdom. You have a relationship with Christ. And thanks be to God, you are sharing that. You're sharing the good news of the salvation that comes through Christ. And you're also sharing what you have. It says in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Christ has ensured that we have all that we need in order to be able to share the good news, the salvation that is in Christ. It also says in verse 11, you will be made rich in every way. Oh, praise God for that. We've won the lottery. No. You have been made rich in every way so that the consequences of you being made rich in every way is that you can be generous on every occasion. Are we generous on every occasion with the hope that is within us? When we're talking to our colleagues at work, when we're talking to those that we may be at college with, maybe even in our own family, are we generous with the hope that is within us? Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. We've already said that poverty is the lack of hope. We bring hope in Christ to those that God has put us into communion with or into relationship with. He's given us everything that we need in order to to make a difference. There's two things that I'd like to unpack on this with just the short time that I have left. There are two things. One is, what is the motivation for this generosity of the church at Corinth? What motivates them to be so generous? And secondly, what measure is their generosity? Our motivation, first and foremost, we are generous because God has been generous to us. He has lavished his life in us by the power of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Paul talks in every single one of his letters about us being in Christ Jesus. We are in him. He is in us. That brings us hope. That should be our motivation for our generosity. This passage is a very practical passage. Yes, it's talking about practical generosity, but it's not just talking about money. Sometimes when, you know, folks, we get in a passage like this and you mention the word money, you can see the shutters coming down. Boom, we're English, we're British, we don't talk about that sort of thing here. But actually, what Paul is talking about here is a generosity with everything that God has invested in us. Our gifts, our talents, our time, our resources, our love, yes, our finances as well. But all of those things, God has said, I've invested that in you. I love you so much. It said, tells us in John 3:16, a verse that we know so well, he loved the world that he gave his only son. How generous is that God, in Romans 5, it says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you and for me. That's God's generosity. So what is our motivation for being generous? Is that God has been generous to us. His love for us, his generosity displayed. We've just come through Easter. We've seen Christ die, and we've seen him rise from the dead. We're going to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. God's generosity knows no bounds. He is lavish beyond measure. And that should be our motivation. It's not to get a box ticked. It's not necessarily to feel good. It's not to salve my conscience. It's to say, Lord, I love you and you have blessed me with so much. I want to bless others. I want to be a bringer of hope. But we mentioned there the word measure. Yeah, but how generous do you want me to be, James? There's a question. And I was telling a story this morning about when I got my first job as a sales rep. Not only did I get a red Ford Cortina Mark IV, for those who are old enough, you will be impressed by that. This is a lad who, not long past his driving test, gave me the keys to a Mark IV Cortina, bright red, 1.6 GLO. I was so thrilled with this. So I got this first job, got this car, got a first decent salary. But, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, what does this all mean in terms of generosity? So I went to speak to my pastor. My circumstances have changed, pastor, and I'm just trying to get my head around this whole giving thing about, you know, what's expected of me in giving. Now that I've got a little bit more, what's expected of me in all of that? So I know about this tithing thing, but do I tithe from my gross or do I tithe from my net? Because, you know, there's a bit of a difference between the two. And by the way, when I get that bonus at the end of the year, do I tithe from the bonus, all of it, or any of it, because it's extra, you know? So do I give from the bonus or do I give from the net of the bonus or do I... And he says, James, stop right there. What you're really asking is, how much can I give and get away with? basically, what you're asking is, what's the minimum I can give and get away with it? And actually, if you read the parable of the Good Samaritan, that's right in there. The teacher of the law, he asked that question of Jesus. Well, who is my neighbor? In other words, what do I need to do to sort of get the pass mark? You know, to feel, yeah, I'm doing all right here. I've got this covered. And I am absolutely Mr. C student. And, you know, when I went to school, most of the time, it was about getting a pass mark. I wasn't bothered about getting an A. Frankly, that was just too much hard work. I was not bothered, but even if I'd been capable, it was just too much hard work. Neither did I want to fail, so I just pitched it. C, oh, yeah, just... So I've got six O levels, all Cs. I've got three A levels, all Cs. I'm a C, just enough. I've learned that in life, just enough is not good enough. God doesn't want our just enough. God, who has lavished his love upon us, he doesn't want our good enough. He wants us, who we are, what we are, what we have in terms of our gift, our talent, our love, our resources. God wants that from us. That's the pass mark. Now, that's a journey. That is a tough thing. Whoever said Christianity is easy? You know, oh, Christianity, yeah, that's that crutch everybody's got to just get through life. No. Christianity is a hard life if we live the life that Christ wants us to live. But that's what brings hope. Hope for me and you, but also to those that we have to do. I was hearing the story this morning. One of your friends came up to me at the end of the service. He says, James, what you should really be telling people about when they sponsor a child through Compassion is the blessing that it gives them. It's transformed my life in terms of being part of the kingdom, having a mission, having a purpose. It has transformed my life and my view of Christ. I thought that was a fantastic story. He really had got it. So, what is our motivation? What is our measure? Are we prepared to go on that journey that says, Lord, you want me to share the gospel tomorrow morning with that colleague? I'm ready. You want me to share that gift that you have given me as a talent, whether it's singing, whether it's actually the ability to get alongside someone one-on-one and just befriend them. Lord, what have you gifted me with? Am I ready to share that gift? Am I ready to be a godly, generous person with everything that you have invested in me? Folks, that is a challenge, but it is also a joy. If we walk into that, not only are folks' lives transformed that we come into contact with, our own life is transformed. When we see poverty around us today, poverty of spirit, physical poverty, material poverty, emotional poverty, we've never lived in a generation that has been so lonely. You ask 25-year-olds and under, and they're some of the loneliest people that you will ever meet. They've got a fantastic relationship with us and struggling face to face. There is a poverty of so many different things. Friends, we have the answer invested in us. Be generous. When we see poverty, what does God want from me? To be generous, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to have compassion. And to act. It says in James 2, I will show you my faith by what I do. We've already heard this morning from Kofi, and you appreciate what Stephen was saying. I want to inspire you this morning to sponsor a child. I'm being very direct about that. There are many ways in which you can make a difference in your own community, but I want to inspire you this morning. Challenge you and inspire you to sponsor a child. I'm going to show a video that's couple of minutes long, and then just 5 minutes after that, and we'll bring this session to a close. This is a video about a young girl called Marie. She's from Togo, and she is a compassion child, and this is how it has transformed her life. Yep, that's just one story among many thousands that we could tell. Hands up if you slept in a comfortable bed last night. Yeah, that's pretty much most of us. Hands up if you and your family had breakfast this morning. Hands up if you have clean water, running water, and a toilet in your home. Got another friend called Jani, young Indian lad. He tells the story of when he was coming into the compassion program. He lived in a community in Mumbai, 10,000 people, two toilets and one tap. Yes, you hear me right. Two toilets, one tap, 10,000 people. The rest I will leave to your imagination. We're here this morning from compassion because we bring transforming life in Christ. The local church, in working with compassion, transforms lives. Lives like Naomi. Naomi is 7. She's from Togo. She lives in a rural community. She lives with her mum, single parent, and her mum is a merchant, a seller of whatever it is that she can get her hands on in order to make life, make ends meet, to put food on the table. You know, we've laughed and joked a little bit about education, and we've mentioned a bit about healthcare. All of those things that we are blessed with in this nation, that's what compassion brings to those most vulnerable people in some of the poorest countries in the world. God is doing great things. For less than £1 a day, for £28 a month, a child like Naomi, Marie, their lives can be transformed. They can have access to education. They can have access to healthcare. They are given the word of God and their lives are transformed. And so I want to inspire you maybe to raise your hands again in a moment. I've got Daniel and Dean are with me. They're going to come to the front. And what I like to do is anything that you've heard this morning, you think, I am interested in sponsoring a child or I am going to sponsor a child, what I'd like you to do, you've had practice. So what I'd like you to do in a moment is to raise your hand. We will pass you one of these profiles. At this point, you're not obligated. All you're saying is, actually, I'm interested in this. I'm going to have a look at this. I'm going to pray about this as the service comes to an end. And at that point, after the service does come to an end, come and see us. There's a table at the back here. There's another one in the foyer. We'll have more profiles there. But if you raise your hand and you take a profile, please come and see us at the end. Don't just kidnap, take it away. Come and see us and we'll answer your questions and we'll help you to make the next step. So if you would like to have a look at a profile, if you raise your hands, please. Thank you so much. And folks will pass those out. For those who are still thinking about this, we will be at these two different tables. Come and see us. I should also encourage you, a number of your friends have already sponsored this morning after the first service. In fact, somebody came to see me even before this service and wanted to sponsor. So God is doing good things. As we finish handing the profiles out, my time has probably more than gone over, and I apologize for that. More than anything, I want to leave you with this from God's word. Folks, be generous. Be generous with who you are. Be generous with the gospel that is within you. Be generous with your life as God has been generous to us. It is life transforming. That neighbor that you think doesn't want to hear the gospel, you might well be surprised. Be courageous. Be generous. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.